There you go. That was Blur with Sunday Sunday, getting us off to an exciting indie pop style start here on BBC Six Music. It's the new year. Happy New Year, Joe.
Hey, thanks a lot. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, listeners, as well. I'm just making some notes in my notebook about material that I'm going to be using later in the show.
What kind of material have you got there? A bit of corduroy?
No written material.
Oh.
Some gags, you know. Nice. Some routines.
Yeah, good one. Were you watching the 100...
It'll be the first time we've ever used a gag or a routine.
That's true, actually. Mm. Well, I used a gag once, but it went down so badly that I vowed never to do it again.
Quite right.
Were you watching the 100 greatest catchphrases, 50 greatest... How many catchphrases
I watched three minutes of it.
3 minutes. Which three minutes did you get? Which catchphrase?
Porridge. The one before porridge. Porridge is all I remember.
What was
somebody
the
explaining the roots of the phrase naff.
Naff.
Mm.
Yeah. What was the catchphrase from porridge? You're banged up now.
Something like that.
Get it. Would you like
it was,
some
it
porridge?
Was naff off.
Naff off.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, we've got great stuff coming up in the show. Sorry to change the subject.
No, quite right. I only had 49 other catchphrases to talk about, but
well,
you carry on
later. We've got Text the Nation coming up. We've got the return of Song Wars after its kind of Christmas confusion. We did something like 3 pre-records for the Christmas period, and some of them dipped in quality, so we apologise to any listeners who might have noticed that. But things are going to be back to their award-winning best. We haven't actually won the award yet.
No, but all that to look forward to, and of course great music coming up, folks. You know, this is the place for great music, and we're going to play some right now. This is, you love this one, Joe.
I do like this one. Yeah,
he's going to be big this year. It's a very exciting new talent, ladies and gentlemen, and who knows what he could achieve by the end of February. This is Jay-Z with Rock Boys.
Yes, that's very funny, Jay-Z. Yeah. No, yeah, it's so silly. It is. Please don't hurt me.
That's American gangster music right there.
Hoobie's home.
No, Holby's home.
Holby City.
Yeah.
Someone's bought the DVDs of Holby City.
Exactly.
Jay-Z's excited.
He's waving them in. He's standing there in the doorway. Holby's home. We're going to watch a lot of Holby City tonight.
You know what? You don't even have to get your purses out.
What?
I think he's talking about giving away free rocks.
Oh.
That's how he gets everybody buying his rocks.
You know, I got a new purse for Christmas.
I thought you were going to say you got some free rocks for Christmas.
No, I never got no rocks. That's what I
no
wanted.
Christmas crackle.
I wanted
crackling.
Some.
Crackling. Christmas crackling.
I didn't get none. Not a single one. That's what I wanted. Didn't get it.
Mm.
I got a wallet. I asked for a wallet.
Is it?
Yeah. And, it's... What?
Is it?
What are you saying?
I'm looking for the kids.
Is it?
The kids only understand that kind of thing.
Is that what they say? Is it?
Yeah.
They don't say
we
that.
Will have attracted some because of that Jay-Z track.
I got a wallet. Listen, I'm trying to tell. Will you shut up?
All I said was.
What were you going to say?
True say. Yeah. Anyway, keep talking.
Well, there's no point. There's no
point.
Go on,
I want to hear about the wallet.
No, you don't want to hear about the wallet.
Well, to be honest, it can't. How can it be interesting? A wallet.
Well, you'll never know. Now you'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, I was going to say I got a wallet, right, listeners, and it was just not what I wanted. Right.
There you go, I was right all along. Here, tell us about this track you've chosen.
It's by Vampire Weekend. They're going to be one of the hot bands to watch for the new year. You know, do you find that exciting or depressing when people predict what are going to be
exciting,
the hot things?
Exciting. Yeah. Optimistic about the new year.
Yeah.
Yeah, very positive.
You like scanning all the...
New black president in the US, hopefully.
Right. Yeah.
Either that or a lunatic.
Which one's the lunatic?
Huckabee.
Huckabee.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. You know, lots of good new music this
year.
Yeah,
good.
There's going to be.
I got a wallet for Christmas. I don't know if you know. But this is Vampire Weekend with A-Punk. There you go. That's Vampire Weekend with A-Punk. What were you saying, Jude? That it's A-Punk or...
A-Punk.
A-Punk. Yeah, that's what I said, isn't it? Yeah, A-Punk. There you go. And that's going to be a hot band for this year. Apparently, it's been predicted. But they're good. I've listened to some of their stuff and they're excellent.
That's good news.
Yeah, good.
It's good to have good bands be hot
yeah.
rather than bad ones.
Rather than really rotten ones.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, coming up quite soon, listeners, we're going to be unveiling this week's Song Wars. We've got no last week's Song Wars to announce the winner of because we took care of that in one of the many complicated extra New Year's Eve shows. But the theme for this week's Song Wars is ringtones.
Ringtone madness.
It's going to be our attempt to get you guys, basically to create a ringtone so powerful that everyone who listens to this show has to have it on their phone.
Well, we're not asking them to create one, are we?
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
I meant us. We're going to create it, but it's going to be so good that you're all going to want to have it on your phones.
Yeah, that's true. And it's so far, this would be a no money making exercise, isn't it?
No. If there was any money made, it would go to charity.
Right.
But we'll take care of giving it to charity.
Which charity?
Trust us.
Which charity would you
know.
Give yours to?
Probably Poppy Day.
Poppy Day.
Poppy Day.
Yeah. mine would be something to do with children.
Really?
Yeah.
Because poor kids.
I really feel for the children.
Yeah, they're so small. And
exactly.
They can't go on good roller coasters.
They can't really reach anything.
No.
So that's what I would mainly be
to extend their arms.
Trying to give them things
longer
to clip
arms.
Onto their arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, with sort of hooks on the end.
Mm. Lovely.
So it's, you know, it's a dream. And that's coming up very shortly, folks. In fact, after this, I think we're going to unveil Song Wars. But first, we've got a trail for you. What do you hope for the trail? What do you hope will be in the trail?
Oh, my hopes for 2008 trails. I hope there's going to be lots of microphone effects on voices.
Yeah.
You know, in the middle of a sentence, it might go coming up on
sex music.
Like just the last two words as if they're through a megaphone.
Yeah.
Some words processed as if they're through a telephone.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully just clips of exciting music behind them and lots of little clips of people laughing at things. You don't really know why they've laughed.
Right. Here we go. Let's see if you've got any...
Oh, there we go. They did it at the end.
That was pretty solid, though,
generally. Yeah, that was a conventional. That was a proper big British castle trailer.
It was a good trail.
None of that faffing around.
For a show that would be interesting to you.
Absolutely.
That you like all that stuff, isn't it?
Gamble and Huff. I enjoy them a lot.
Nice bit of gambling and huffing.
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay, now, it's time for Song Wars after this next track, folks. This is Those Dancing Days with Hitten.
Who will win the Song Wars today? Perhaps it will be Adam, or it will be Joe. Either one. You will be the one who decides by texting or emailing when you hear the clips.
Thought we'd go with that jingle this time as a little counterpoint to what's bound to be fairly annoying and jarring and, well, you know, ringtones are all about sticking in the mind in a very catchy way, aren't they?
Yes. The key is to be really annoying, irritating.
Is it?
Itchy. I found.
But have you ever actually used a ringtone? Have you ever downloaded a ringtone and had it on your phone? Like, what's the current ringtone for your phone?
It's just one of the standard ones.
It's one of the standard ones.
Yeah.
You've
never...
You know
what? I've put the ones that I did for the show in there, though.
Did you?
Yeah. Did you do that?
I thought about it, and then I decided not to.
Listeners stroke customers.
Yeah.
I can tell you, you know, I can demonstrate how mine sound on an actual phone.
Yeah.
You know, we'll play them in proper stereophonic first.
Right.
But then for that added, you know, incentive, I can demonstrate how they sound all tinny on the bus.
Yeah.
And they sound good.
Do you know what? I was going to do that on mine, but I've got an iPhone.
Do you now?
Yeah. So it would have sounded too good.
Really? That's true. Have they got like amazingly good speakers, those?
Yeah.
Like
wicked speakers.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Is that an iPhone?
That's an iPhone.
Wow.
It's got a little leather case there.
Mm.
I clipped it on. The little leather clip-on case.
And it's got a big bit of plastic that I put on the cover to protect it.
Don't you have to pay like £400 a month to O2 for that thing? And can you not only get access to the internet in 5% of the country? I'm just being negative because I'm jealous.
No, you can get it everywhere. It's wicked.
Really?
Yeah, it's really wicked. And what was I saying? What was the other thing you said?
It costs a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, no, because I was already on there. Of course, listeners, there are many other phones available, and...
But no other phones that make you look like such a punt.
Genius, such a genius.
Sorry, I chose the wrong word.
He's very jealous. Can you hear all that jealousy seeping out there?
So, anyway, listen,
Song Wars. Ringtones. Now, listen, I heard that you've come in with about 9 of them or something.
I did... Basically, I did some very short ringtones.
They
were only about 20 seconds because I thought they needed to be pithy. And the more I did them, the kind of better I thought I got at it.
Right.
I started out trying to do a kind of a non-hateful ringtone that would be soft and kind of soothing and that you'd like to hear and that was flattering. But then I realized that was a bit wrong.
Right.
So I went for a more funky one. Then I realized that was a bit wrong. And I went for purely irritating.
So are you just doing the sounds? Like, because...
No, mine have got vocals.
Yours have got vocals.
Yeah.
But you're approaching it more from a sort of Brian Eno startup noise standpoint.
No.
Because that's... is there not a definite...
Unless like, Brian Eno's ill.
There is... is there not a distinction between a ringtone and a sort of alert noise? Like, because a lot of people now, their ringtone is like a whole song. So that's what I was assuming that we were going to do.
Cool.
But you brought in 3. You're not allowed to bring in 3. That's not fair.
They're very short ones, though.
Not fair.
Let's hear yours first, and we'll see how many I need to deploy.
I don't think so. Let's hear yours first. If you've got three, that is going to be useless. If I play mine, and then it's just a complete tidal wave of Joe Cornish ringtones, then that
they're
is prejudicial.
Short. They're only short. Well, okay, I'll play you a teaser. So play, Jude, play number two. So this is like a, this is a funky one. This is like, so imagine your phone going off and you hear this. Go, shoot.
Yo, funky mother, it's your telephone ringing. Time to conversate, cause somebody's bringing words from their mouth into your ear. All you gotta do if you wanna hear is use your hand to pick up your phone. Hold it to your head like an electrical bone. When you hear words, don't forget to answer, but not for too long because you might get cancer.
So that's quite good, isn't it?
What if they're ringing for longer than that? It just starts again.
It loops.
Right.
Which is even more irritating, which is even better.
I suppose.
So that's quite short. You see, if I just bought that in, it would have been a little bit insubstantial, I felt.
Well, that was the whole point. You were the one that lobbied for ringtones because you said, oh, no, we're going to have to do all that work. It's going to be New Year.
Let's hear your one.
This is how he operates, listeners. This is the absolutely dishonest way that Joe Cornish operates these scams.
Anger today.
Okay, come on.
Let's hear your one.
All right. Well, this is not fair that you are allowed to play one just and then out, just out, sandwich out, the whole out. Thing. It's a competition.
Okay.
And you are not playing by the rules. All right, well, this is mine. This is like a whole ludicrous thing that's not going to win. Come on, here we go. Oh, I don't know why I bother. Come on.
You got a call coming in. It's exciting. Perhaps it's from an actor or a model, or maybe Russell Brand.
There's an orgy going on.
But more likely, it's from someone at work saying, why ain't you done all your work?
Just let it ring, it will go to voicemail in a second. They can leave a chippy message which you're welcome to ignore. Anyway, you got this ringtone, it's so different and so special, and there's people all around who haven't heard it before.
You got a call coming in, you got a call coming in on your phone. In the old days this was enough, but not now. You've got to have a flipping song to express yourself before you answer your phone.
That's an odd voice, phone.
So that's the song. You see, you would never hear the end because generally,
that?
That's just an accent. Generally, the song would cut off after the first, I don't know how many. Well, people usually answer their phones fairly quickly, but the logic of that one is that people would be so delighted with it, they would just let it ring. Mm. They would even switch off their voicemail in order for the song to get to the end.
Yeah.
So should we hear your 200 ones now?
There's only two others, and the third one I wasn't going to play at all. So yeah, why don't we hear my other one? This is the super irritating one. All right, you ready for it?
Yep.
This is number one.
Yeah, number one, please.
Phone call, iPhone call, you have got a telephone call. Ring, ring, telephone call, someone wants to telephone you. Ring, ring, telephone call, talking on the telephone. Someone is trying to call you to talk to you on the telephone.
Yeah.
Phone call, iPhone call.
See, this is how it sounds actually through. Imagine that on the bus.
Ring, ring, telephone call, someone wants to telephone you.
Well, they're not. Just to take issue with some of the lyrics, they don't want to. They are telephoning you.
That's like having someone saw your brain.
They don't want
to
telephone you. They are telephoning you. So I take issue with that. It just doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. Well, what about the other one?
What, this one?
No, not that one.
Not that one. I don't think we want to hear the other one.
Well, the other one's even worse than the telephone call one.
No, it's not as irritating. It just goes in a different direction.
What a sexy direction.
Okay, but play it. Play number three, then. It's not very good. I didn't want to play this one.
Excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt whatever you're doing, but you are so popular, your phone goes off the whole time with people all desperate to hear your opinions on subjects and matters and invite you round to their houses for parties with ladies. The invitations are relentless. Sometimes it can be hard to be so bloody popular.
You don't want that. What you want is this.
Telephone call.
Yeah. I haven't quite learned the words yet.
Ring, telephone
Are you going to nail your colours to the mast then, Joe? Are you going with that ringtone?
Can I bundle my ringtones 1 and 2 into a kind of twin pack?
No.
And,
look, Joe,
I can't.
You are...
Jude's laying down the
She's
law.
She's laying down the law. That's what she does,
one
man.
I get punished for making extra effort.
Punished for cheating, I think you're fine.
Okay, I tell you which one I'm going for.
This is exciting, isn't it, listener? It's suspenseful.
Yeah, I'm going to have a little thing.
Joe Cornish.
I think I'll go for this one.
Cheating.
Right. Okay. Right, that's my one.
Okay, well, we'll remind you of the final selection later on, ladies and gentlemen. Much later on, don't worry. There'll be quite a significant gap between then.
Hey, and you can vote by texting 64046, text Adam or Joe, or you can email if you're listening again, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. But now, it's time for the news.
That's good, isn't it? It's nice to hear the beta band. That was Outside. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and we were just talking about whether we'd finished watching all the extras on our Blade Runner DVD giant box sets there. And the answer was no, not quite yet. There's still quite a lot more to watch. But I watched some new movies over the Christmas period, folks. I imagine that you probably did as well. Didn't enjoy any of them. I'm just having a look, remembering. The best one was probably B-Movie, which I went to see with the children a couple of days ago. Even though... totally went over their heads, I would think. I mean, it's just stuffed full of things that no child would ever get. Plus a load of very American-centric jokes.
Yeah, it's written by Jeremy Seinfeld, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
so it's going to be all sophisticated New York intellectual, isn't it?
Fairly.
But I know what you mean. That's one of the things that's weird about it.
Yeah.
You know, like fluffy bee animal film, but then it's the Seinfeld sensibility. It's a strange mix. Doesn't work for me.
It was very odd. I mean, basically, the central conceit is that more or less the bee... played by Jerry Seinfeld at the center of the whole thing, the bee protagonist, ends up having a sort of affair with a human being.
No, that can be sexy.
Played by Renee Zellweger.
Women and bees. I've got some mags with that kind of stuff going down at home.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because you have to use a split focus lens for the different depths of field.
Bee filth.
But it is sexy. It's definitely sexy.
Because at the end...
A little sting in the right place.
Well, after the sting, presumably they die. So that's like the ultimate climax
exactly.
to a little
exactly.
act of love.
Mm.
Anyway, it was still pretty good, though, B-movie.
What are you talking about?
Le petit mot. De le bee. Le l'abbé. That's what a bee in French is called, isn't it? Isn't it?
I don't know.
An abbé? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, didn't mind B-movie. So you quite liked it, did you?
I ain't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
I've issued a Cornish moratorium on animated animal films.
Oh, really?
No more.
Well, I can't do that. I've got a family. There's no question
true.
Of me doing that. I'd be in terrible trouble. I also went to see I Am Legend.
I Am Legend.
Here's another name for I Am Legend.
Hey.
I Am Useless.
Hey, now some people out there won't have seen I Am Legend.
Don't.
Don't
bother.
It's good for an hour.
I tell you what, if you really want to see it, save your money, come round to my house, I'll smack you in the face for 4 hours.
I've got a lot to say about I Am Legend, but I can't really say it because people get angry, upset about spoilers. Most of the outrageous things about I Am Legend happen in the last 45 minutes.
It's torture.
It kind of eats itself. It starts out being brilliant, but then completely shoots itself in the Smith.
I don't know about it being brilliant at any stage.
It had a very good mise-en-scene.
Here's the premise, listeners. The film starts and here's Will Smith. He's driving around a deserted New York City. It's a bit like the beginning of 28 Days Later. And I believe they shot it in similar circumstances.
They shot it in London early in the morning.
Yeah, right. But early in the morning in New York City, they shot a lot of the stuff, apparently, when the streets were all deserted and they ran out there and messed it all up and made it look as if there'd been a big plague that had wiped out the population of the earth. And Will Smith is the only man left and he's still in New York City and he's trying to find a cure. In the meantime, he sort of amuses himself by driving around shooting deer and antelope and stuff that have escaped from the zoo, presumably, and are roaming the streets free. But here's the thing. In the evening, when the sun goes down, the kind of survivor zombie population of New York City comes out.
The Dark Seekers.
The Dark Seekers, that's what they're called. And they've got the worst, stupidest CG faces.
It did make me think, who named them Dark Seekers? And at what stage in the disaster was that name coined?
Right.
Do you know, because you'd be less likely to call them that than those awful people.
Yeah.
Or something.
The ill people.
Yeah.
The very ill people.
Or the computer men.
Exactly, which is what they are. I mean, they're a total disgrace. Presumably, they're computer men so that they can move incredibly fast, right? And in a sort of weird, slightly scary way. But what's wrong with... Could they not just have close-ups with people in prosthetics and stuff and do a bit of old-fashioned makeup? That would have been better than the stupid faces they've got on there with the computerized faces.
I liked it.
Did you really?
Yeah, I didn't mind that. I just didn't like the God-bothering aspects of it.
Oh, yeah.
It turns into a Christian film at the end. No insult to Christians, but, you know, it's all over that film in a weird way. But listen to it. Should we have a bit of music?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here is Adele, ladies and gentlemen, and this is Chasing Pavements.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
That was Adele. That was like my mum...
Singing?
No, it's just exactly like my mum reminds me of my mum. No, I was going to say, it's like your mother coming and laying a warm towelette on your face and then pushing it...
I thought you were going to say something else, and I'm glad that sentence ended with towelette.
Pushing it into your face and until you can't breathe. Take it off.
God, that explains a lot. That was lovely. Adele with Chasing Pavements. What does that mean, Chasing Pavements? That's just like falling over face first. Outside
what does
a club.
That mean?
Bijoux, maybe.
Chasing Pavements, unless she's really, really on drugs, and it seems like the pavements are kind of getting away from her. That's not, it couldn't be that.
Is it Text the Nation time?
It got to be Text the Nation time, surely. Nation's favourite feature.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
So, it's time for Text the Nation. This is the part of the show, and listen carefully, because this is quite complicated, where you text us on a kind of a theme.
Or you can email.
Yeah, if you're listening via Listen Again, you can email. Email is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. The text is 64046. Text the Nation this week. Are we going to do this one, do you think?
Why not, yeah.
Why
if,
not,
if
okay.
If it goes wrong, we can do something else.
It's just a simple one. Do you ever, when you see a famous actor or actress come on telly, you know, one of the ones that's in lots of things, they pop up all the time, do you ever invent silly names for them?
Right, give us
parallel something. Names for them. Like, I was watching a terrible, terrible film called Balls of Fury.
Oh, yeah.
The other day, no good. And it had Christopher Walken in it.
Yeah.
I like to call him Christopher Walk-On.
Nice.
Because he has so many walk-on parts.
Yeah.
I say, look, there's Christopher Walk-On. I expect people to laugh.
Right.
In a kind of a dad way.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. Or if you didn't like him, you could call him Christopher Walk-Off.
Yeah.
I wish.
Yeah. Well, I like to call the Conservative leader, James Cameron, James Camera-On.
Oh.
Because he's only, you know, he only behaves in that way when the cameras come on. James Camera-On, James Camera-Off. I get some very loving looks in my house when I say that.
Good.
Joe, you're so funny.
You are funny.
When Josh Hartnett comes on the screen,
what have you got?
To say, look, it's Josh Hartnett.
Nice.
Yeah?
Because that'll teach him a lesson. Because he's so vain.
He's so vain. He's a pretty boy.
Oh.
He probably does wear a hairnet.
He's probably got one stuffed in his pockets, or maybe down the front of his trousers.
When Harrison Ford comes on, I like to call him Harrison Bored.
Oh, why?
Because he looks so bored all the time.
He looks so bored.
And that's one of the things about him. Have you got any of these, Adam?
No, because you just told me 5 seconds ago this is what we were going to do.
Think of someone during the next record.
Okay, I will.
Yeah. Cate Blanchett?
What do you call her?
Cate Blanchett.
Nice. I call her Cake Blanket.
Cake Blanket. That's taking it one further.
I don't know what it means. It has no, bears no relation to
it. We're not expecting, as you can see, any genuine wit in this, but, you know, I think this is a habit that a lot of people have, and we'd like to hear, you know, some of the ones that you guys come up with.
I would imagine Amy Winehouse is a popular one. There's got to be loads of variations for that.
Yeah. This is a kind of, maybe young people don't do this so much, but as you get older, it starts becoming, I think there's some sort of little bit of the brain that starts growing and just gets cynical about everything, and you know what I mean?
Well, we were talking about this last year at some point, weren't we? It's a very dad thing to do.
It's the sort of thing your dad might just walk into the room while you're watching telly and go, huh, Josh Hartnett.
Yeah.
My
dad used to come and, oh, Angela Ripoff. Oh, look, it's Angela Ripoff.
We've talked about that before.
And
do text us in with your kind of, what would you call them? Like, you know, mutated celebrity names that manage to kind of coax something more, something meaningful out of it. You know what I mean?
Some added truth.
Yeah, text 64046. We've also got quite a lot of emails about the thing we were doing on one of our pre-records, which is a kind of a placebo Text the Nation about the Bourne supremacy, identity.
Yes.
Give me what is it?
It's the ultimatum.
Ultimatum. Yeah. No, is it?
Yeah.
No. That was one of the first ones.
The final one is called the Bourne Ultimatum.
And we were going through on our pre-record some of the stupid things they say to each other in the control room.
Give
right?
me eyes. I need eyes on the. I need eyes on the. What's he called? The asset. Give me eyes on the asset. Yeah.
Give me a tic-tac-toe, and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I can't find it. Here we go. I got it down here somewhere.
That was
anyway.
It.
But so there are some of those to go through. But maybe we'll do those after the next record. We got some great emails about that.
So this one is one of your choices, I think, Joe.
Yeah, this is A Tribe Called Quest with a track called Excursions. Gregory Isaacs with Permanent Lover. That was recorded for John Peel, one of the Peel sessions, on Radio 1 on the 26th of October, 1981. I had a bit of a kind of a soft reggae thing going over Christmas, personally. I bought that album. I got given that album that's compiled by the Super Furry Animals bassist. It's called Furry Selection.
Uh-huh.
And it's a fantastic compilation of you know, really good dub reggae.
To have a bit of Lover's Rock in there as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be playing one of the tracks from it a little later in the show, so there's something to listen out for.
You went to see the Super Furries on New Year's Eve, right?
I did, yeah, at the Royal Festival Hall.
It was
quite good.
Yeah.
They were very good. The event as a whole left a couple of things to be desired, I'd say.
Well, New Year's Eve, eh? It's always a nightmare.
Yeah, that's a slightly odd atmosphere. And it was in the foyer.
Wow.
And there was just a kind of, you know, an unforgettable atmosphere of foyerness about it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? When you do an event in a foyer, the whole thing just stinks slightly of foyer.
It's a little bit dissipated. Everyone's
dissipated, people wandering around.
Well, it's
sitting
a thoroughfare, isn't it?
Exactly.
Especially at the Royal Festival Hall.
Lacked a sense of, you know, I can't think of words this morning. Will that be a problem?
No, listen, man, I know where you're at. It's difficult because technically we've been away for a few weeks.
Yeah. So listen, the other week we did a pre-record where we were doing a kind of simulated Text the Nation. We were asking you to suggest phrases that could be used in one of the Bourne Identity films in the control room. In the actual film, they say stuff like, we went in for a sneak and peek, which means they broke in and searched the flat. They
looked
say stuff
around.
Like, get me a tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
Which is kind of special speak for elevations of a building. Plans.
Floor plan.
Activate the asset. Asset? Activate the asset. Cross deviation. Release the funds. That sort of thing. So people have sent in some quite good suggestions here. Do you want to hear some?
Yeah, go on then.
Here's one. Let's consult the owl.
Right.
Consult the owl. Yeah, this is from Jason. This means we should run the plan past a wise, experienced intelligence officer.
Very good, Jason.
Yeah. This is one I like
Maybe
a lot.
Maybe that was from Jason Bourne.
Maybe, yeah.
Yes, that's true.
Here's a good one. Dust and polish.
Dust and polish?
Dust and polish.
Yeah, that's good.
What is completed following a property search to remove any trace of entry?
Dust and... I bet you the cops actually
that's
say that.
That's probably real, isn't
that's
it?
That's real.
Maybe he's a cop.
He probably is a cop.
He's letting out secrets. This is from Akio. Apologise if I haven't said your name correctly. The chicken is in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
What would that mean?
That just means that it's almost dinner time. The chicken's going to be cooked fairly soon and they're going to eat
some
chicken.
Right, so that's if they're going to have chicken.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about if someone goes, turn down the music?
Yeah.
Turn down the music. That would just mean turn your volume down.
Exactly. It's a little bit loud. It's very hard for everyone to concentrate.
Here's a good one. Dust the shelves and replace the ornaments. Dust the shelves and replace the ornaments. The kettle is boiled. We are out of milk.
That's a good one.
The freezer is in critical need of defrosting.
Yeah.
Those Somebody's left the freezer door open.
Someone suggesting put the doggy in the basket. But that's a different one, isn't it? From Silence of the Lambs.
Put the lunch in the basket.
Finally, we got an email from a guy called Richard Oldham. He says, as a way of exciting our boring office life, my colleagues and I have taken to renaming everyday office items with overtly masculine names, e.g. the stapler has become Magnum, and the staple remover has become Cobra. Recently, we've taken to using this to create Bourne Ultimatum control room phrases. So instead of saying, oops-a-daisy, I've been stamping too many pages together, we say, Rookie's gone rogue with a Magnum and I need the Cobra to clean up the mess. That's Richard. In Bermuda, designing houses for filthy rich people.
No.
What a job.
Man, Richard,
can
you're
we come
the
and help
guy
you,
alive. Yeah, please can we go out there? That'd be great. My dad was a little bit confused by the Bourne Ultimatum. We watched it as our Christmas movie this year. We had it on DVD and we projected it with the surround sound.
Nice.
Oh, man, it was exciting. My mum had never seen it before and she was digging it. But my dad couldn't. He kept on leaning over going, what is going on? Who is he? So I had to explain this and that. And then every now and again, he would turn around to me and say, So what is Asset doing now?
Oh, if only his name was Asset.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that Christian Bale's character in Rescue Dawn was called Dawn. It would improve the film massively for me.
It certainly would. Shall we have some more music?
Is it more music time?
I think so. And it's the Wombats with
BBC.
The,
Six Music. On digital. Online. BBC Six Music.
What an exciting sound. The sound of young people getting excited about life, making love to one another, drinking too much wine, locking themselves in hot rooms with instruments until they don't know what's what or who's where.
Pushing things off desks and refusing them to pick them up.
Refusing them to pick them up. The electricity that sparks between young people with freshly washed hair.
That was the Wombats with it's moving...
Quite an unenthusiastic laugh there.
...to New York. No, that was just a,
tired.
January laugh, isn't
January
it?
January laugh, yeah.
We were talking about some of the things that are slightly confusing or depressing about New Year. Before the show started today, my top three was forgetting to write the correct year on the top of checks, like writing the previous year. And tax, obviously, is another depressing thing. They're pretty much as soon as your present wrapping paper is in the bin, you get the tax bill.
In the recycling box, I hope.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. Yeah. Did a lot of recycling this Christmas. And what was the other depressing thing? I don't know. It's just a whole new raft of things, isn't it, to deal with?
The new year.
Yeah.
That's one way of looking at it. Yes. Oh, God, another raft. Piled up with things.
I hate rafts.
Oh, God.
So, listen, we're in the middle of...
Eventually, they'll stop coming.
What, the rafts?
And it'll just be the void.
I know.
So you always look forward to that.
That's true.
Hey?
Yeah, sweet, sweet void. But before that, before the void, I think it's time we checked in with Text the Nation.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Yes, it's Text the Nation time, and this week we're asking you to text in sort of stupid manglings of celebrities' names that make you happy to say when you see the celebrity.
Mm.
Gives you a little bit of power against their world-dominating everywhereness.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Examples being...
My girlfriend's mum calls certain stars Ray the Otter. It's a very common one for Ray Liotta. But then she carries on to John the Vulture...
What's John the Vulture?
John Travolta.
John Travolta.
A bit left field. And Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal's fine.
That's quite a good one. Yeah. I think this is because she likes animals. She's got two dogs, says Gus.
She goes for John the Vulture over just the simpler John Revolting, which is what most people...
Yeah, but they're good. John the Vulture is quite idiosyncratic. It's quite, you know, mummy-ish, isn't it? It's
not that much to do. The funniest joke in B-movie is, flying a plane, how hard can it be? John Travolta can do it. Something like that. I slightly mangled it. It's funnier in the film.
Doesn't sound promising. I always call Eric Clapton, here's a good dad one, Eric Clapped Out.
Nice.
Yeah? Ha 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 or not, says Nicola in Glasgow. Bill Oddie, Odd Billy from Dave in the Highlands.
That's good.
What about for Bruce Forsyth, Bruce Forkknife?
That's strange.
It's quite good, isn't it?
He's just made that one up.
It's got a slash in between. Bruce Fork/Knife. That's from Andy in Birmingham.
Bruce Forkknife.
That's quite good, I think. I'd be happy saying that whenever I saw
parents,
him.
What did they used to call him there? It was something like Bruce False... Oh, I don't know.
False Tights? No.
False Tights?
I don't know. Have a think about that one.
There's a load that you couldn't say on...
Mo in Aberdeen has a good one for Keira Knightley. IKEA Knightley.
Nice.
Yeah?
That's what
nearly
she's like.
Works. It's nearly an anagram. And she turns Amy Winehouse into Amy Wine Lake.
Nice.
Yeah?
Yes.
Because she drinks a lot she's gotten difficulties.
An awful lot.
Because of it. Panda Wolf in Eastcote. What a bizarre name. Calls Whoopi Goldberg. Wait for it. Whoopi Goldfish.
Goldfish.
Yeah, my friend's got a joke that goes, did you know that Gerard Depardieu is marrying Whoopi Goldberg? Yeah, she's going to be called Whoopi Doopy Doo. That's quite a good joke. Anybody?
Yeah, that
hello?
Is good. That is good. I was just, my brain was processing it.
My dad calls the Toyota Prius. Hang on a second. My dad calls Toyota Prius drivers Toyota Pius. Yeah? Because of their smug, self-righteous choice of car. He also calls Natasha Kaplinsky Natasha Lipstick Sky.
Lipsticksky.
From Jenny, Lipsticksky. Yeah. Tom in Bournemouth says, they're not supposed to be funny, but they're just strange. And
they're just words.
They're like little family secrets.
Just words.
We like to call Amy Winehouse Amy Hairhouse because of her hair.
Because she's got so much of it.
I'd call her Amy Facehouse.
Yeah, you know what
of
I
her face.
You know what I call her? Amy Tattoo Hairs. Because she's got tattoos.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. That is good.
House.
What?
Amy Tattoo Hairs House. Because then it sounds like her name. I just thought at the end there. I just popped it in.
Yeah. Amy... I'm just looking through the rest of these. You know, I might have to vet these a little bit.
Pete, drink drugs. Tea.
That's good. Write some of those down.
Oh, shit, I've written that one
We'll
down.
Come back to that. Keep them coming in, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk or text 64046 if you've got any kind of cleverer ones.
Yeah.
Sounds unlikely, but, you know.
Hey, it's our first show back in the new year, folks. Come on. You know, cut us some slack, will you, please? Now, here's a choice that I made for you, listeners. Hope you enjoy this one. I don't hear too much Frank Zappa on the radio. Possibly because a lot of the stuff in his songs is sort of filthy and profane. He writes a lot of songs about sex and stuff. Even though that was his big vice, Zappa, wasn't it? He was a sort of sexaholic, a bit of a pornocrat. But that was it. He never took any drugs. The worst thing he did was smoke a lot of ciggies, which may have contributed to his eventual demise, unfortunately. But he was a great guy. I've always been a big fan of his. And this is a track from one of his best albums, Overnight Sensation, and it's called Camarillo Brillo. Hope you like it. Frank Zappa there with Camarillo Brillo. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music.
What's that all about then, that title, Camarillo Brillo? Is he saying that something is Brillo? Like, yeah. Brillo pads, really,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Is Camarillo a place?
I think it is.
Like Amarillo.
I know Amarillo.
The front.
Yeah, maybe it's a kind of a car. I'm not sure. It's a load of arcane American references that I'm not familiar with. But it's nice. I like his voice.
Mm.
Even though he's just mining pretty much one little tune there.
Riff.
He just carries on. He's not bothered about it. The worst you can say about Frank Zappa is that his voice is very insincere. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's
arm's length kind of business.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But I don't mind that. There's, you know, you couldn't only listen to Frank Zappa. It would drive you nuts. But every now and again, it's nice. It's like a little tasty donut.
Hey, this is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, the station where we play six bits of music over and over again.
That's true.
It's not true.
No, isn't it?
No.
Okay.
Got a lot more than that.
Well, that's good.
You know, one of the weirdest things I saw on telly over Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Was Shane McGowan on TV Burp.
Wow.
Did you catch that?
Didn't catch that.
At the end of Harry Hill's TV Burp, he has a bit where he illustrates one of the things he's talking about by having a fight, usually between two celebrities.
It's my least favourite part of the show.
Thing that goes into the break, bridges the break kind of thing. But on the Christmas special, he announced that... I forget what the lead-in was, but the build-up was building up to Shane McGowan versus a bottlenose dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was just a word joke, you know, a little picture painted for the mind. But he gestured to his left, and lo and behold, out came Shane McGowan.
No.
Looking quite extraordinary. I mean, he's always an amazing man to look at.
Yeah.
Because he's lived such a life. And he's sort of out of the limelight a lot, so every time he pops up, it's like kind of looking under a rock and seeing how things are progressing in the nicest possible way. You know, I think he's a genius.
He's very seldom shoveled, certainly.
Absolutely, yeah. And he was looking very, very...
disheveled.
Yeah, not a lot going on in the tooth department.
Yeah.
The eyes seem to be interested in separate things. Much too much extra skin on the face.
Right.
All heading downwards.
Yeah.
Big as well.
Uh-huh.
Lots of booze still in there.
Big boozy pillow. Yeah.
But, you know, still understanding, you know, compos mentis and punching the dolphin. And, you know, I really like that when kind of your heroes turn up on slightly mainstream trashy programs. There's something really cool about that, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be a great TV moment.
Seeing someone like sort of holier than thou turn up on something. Because people like that, they kind of wouldn't turn up on a respectful program, you know? They kind of purposely go for something a bit
a bit mainstream, and even though that program is fantastic.
Yes, brilliant program.
But I couldn't quite believe I'd seen it, and I thought maybe I was hallucinating.
That'll be on YouTube, presumably, won't it?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm going to have a look at that later on.
It was good.
That sounds excellent. The best thing, I didn't catch any of those special shows. You know, I didn't see the Extras Christmas special or anything like that. None of the things that you were supposed to watch that were, like, exciting appointment to view type things. Instead, I caught, like, loads of dreadful stuff. Like, I ended up sitting right the way through the Best of Top Gear. I've never watched Top Gear in my life, and I watched the Best of Top Gear. It was torture. There was absolutely nothing else on at the time. And I was just flicking around. We were in the countryside. We didn't have satellite or anything. We just had the five channels. Channel 5 was so fuzzy you couldn't really see it. It was just like a snowstorm. So
that's actually what they were doing for Christmas.
Was it?
Yeah, snowstorm.
Oh,
seasonal.
Right
over the Christmas period.
There you go. Anyway, it was barely watchable. I was quite bored of the snowstorm, so ended up with Top Gear. Have you ever watched Top Gear?
Yeah, I quite like Top Gear.
What is your mental problem?
I like it. I saw their one where they went to the North Pole.
How can you stand it?
Because it's like Blue Peter for retarded men.
Which is your favourite man?
I don't like any of them.
No, of course not. Which
but
is your least favourite man?
It's a good show.
How can you deal with Hammond, the hamster?
Well, listen, hey, our producer Jude
she
just
loves Hammond.
Let's play a record. Talk about this and make sure we're not hurting anyone's feelings.
Jude loves the hamster.
And then we'll talk about Hammond.
People love
after
the
this.
Hamster. Listen, hey, they love him.
Here are the Staple Singers. They hate Hammond.
I happen to know.
This is called Let's Do It Again.
Yeah. That's the new Young Pony Club with The Bomb. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music.
Now, we came across a band called the Young Pony Club, didn't we? Are they now called the New Young Pony? Is that a different band, or have they had to put new in front of them because there's another band called Pony Club? Something's going on there, some kind of Pony Club politics.
It wasn't. They were called something slightly different, but
it was... They were definitely called Young Pony Club, weren't they?
No, it was. There was ponies in there, but it wasn't exactly Young Pony Club. But anyway, that's the New Young Pony Club. And as far as the world is aware, it's the main pony club to be concerned with at the moment. Now, we're in the middle of Text the Nation. Have you got any more mangled celebrity names there, Joe Cornish?
Yeah, lots and lots and lots and lots and lots. Okay, the idea for Text the Nation this week, listeners, is, you know, celebrity names, famous people's names that you mangle domestically for your own personal entertainment. We're not saying these are brilliantly clever or funny, even though some of them may be, but they're just weirdly satisfying. So are you ready? I'm going to go through them quite fast.
I remembered the name of the band.
What is it?
Vote Show Pony.
Oh, that's right.
Was the other band, yeah.
Okay, here we go. This is from Matt Garner. He says, instead of Christopher Eccleston... Can you guess any of these, Adam?
Christopher Ecclescake.
Correct.
Nice.
Instead of Michael Parkinson...
Michael... Fartinson.
No, oh. Michael Park Your Bum.
Michael Park
you
Your
see,
Bum.
You see, he's a chat show host.
Not anymore.
Instead of... And this was one that was very popular in America with the people that don't like the lesbian ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of Ellen DeGeneres...
Ellen Degenerate.
Correct.
Oh, really? That's that's a little bit anti-gay,
instead of,
isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know.
Right.
It needn't be connected to her sexual preference.
Well, it's bound to be, though, isn't it? With
from?
DeGeneres.
That's from Bryn. Here's another one. This is from D, the D-man, Damien.
Yeah.
Instead of Nelly... hang on, I've forgotten her actual name.
Furtado.
Furtado.
Well, she's almost there, anyway. Fartado?
No.
What?
Nelly Furtado.
Oh, that's not
instead
very nice.
Of instead of Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth...
Poultry.
Poultry.
Or Poultry.
Right.
Yeah, lots of them there. Maybe it's part and parcel of being famous that you have to have a name that's easily mutated, that people can have fun with.
Well, mine, of course, would be very easy. You just stick an F on the at the beginning of Buxton, and you're sorted. That's what used to happen to me at school. What about you?
Just pasties.
Joe,
you know,
Joe Cornish pasty.
Yeah, corn plasters, that kind of thing.
Corn balls.
Never, no one ever said that. My dad calls Colin Firth Colin Filth to annoy my mum as she fancies him, says Becky in Norwich. Also, when I was a child and a big Stock Aitken and Waterman fan in the 80s, my dad called Rick Astley Dick Ashtray. Dad, nice one.
Dad, you would have totally dealt with the situation there.
Chris in Whitley Bay says, I've heard people using Joe Corny as a slight on Mr. Cornish recently.
Joe Corny.
I'm flattered to be talked about anywhere. I don't mind if it's...
If there's one thing you're not, it's corny.
Hey.
Joe.
Thanks,
okay?
Man.
Yeah, I just thought I'd help you out there.
Thanks, man. Edward Woodward becomes, says Claire, if you remove all the D's, ee-wah woo-wah.
That's very lateral.
That's quite good, isn't it? Ee-wah woo-wah. That's all we've got for the moment.
Blobby Williams, of course, is the other one.
More Text the Nation
coming later. Keep them coming. Text 64046 or email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Is it time for the news now? Yes, here's the news.
Is that where they got their name from?
Yes, that is where the band got their name from.
Does that mean that's their favourite Talking Heads film?
No, it's not their favourite. You'd have to be insane if that was your favourite Talking Heads song, but it's not a bad one. Come on, that's Talking Heads with Radiohead. That's from their, probably, I guess most people would agree, their worst album, being True Stories.
Oh, I've got a soft spot for that, though.
Listen, I've got a big soft spot for it. I love it.
It was their big launch. It was a movie, and it was supposed to take them to the mainstream.
Yeah, there was even two versions. There was the soundtrack album of all, like, original music from the film.
Lovely cover design, kind of typeface logo, that big kind of bold red and white thing.
David Byrne incidental
film's
music.
Good.
Cronus Quartet.
The film's kind of a bit of a lost classic, isn't it? Is it? Or a lost average, not very classic?
Haven't watched it recently.
Is it even on DVD?
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's worth seeing, certainly if you're a Talking Heads fan.
Mm.
But the album by the band that accompanied the film, the big hit was Wild Wild Life, and it's an odd one. It's a very odd one. It was David Byrne making his transition into kind of his fascination with world music and Cajun and all sorts of different styles, and the band was a little bit disparate there. Anyway, that's more than you needed to know.
Oh, phone call.
Oh, God.
Sorry, this goes my new return.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, sorry, I'll pick that.
Well, speaking of which, we should remind people what the deal is with Song Wars this week. Joe and I, as you can hear there, are trying to construct ringtones that you might like to
use. You mean
trying? Well, okay, we have successfully constructed ringtones that you, the listeners, might like to use on your mobiles.
We don't actually know how to get them from the radio into your mobiles. We'll sort that out at a later date, if demand is sufficient.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But it's a genius conceit there for Joe actually put his ringtone on the mobile, thereby demonstrating the efficaciousness. Don't play that one.
Why not?
Because you're sticking. Listen, don't make me get angry again.
Hey, Jude's getting angry. Listen, I really object. I made extra effort. I did three.
Listen.
I made extra effort, and I'm being treated like a pariah and a cheater. It's not. Why is that cheating?
Listen, I'll explain to you.
I went out of my way to do extra work.
Yeah, but after.
So if I write an extra long essay,
he's just.
Do I get thrown out of school?
He's not listening. This is what happened, listeners. This is what happened. Last show that we pre-recorded before Christmas, Joe was huffing and puffing. Oh, all these pre-records. There's too much stuff. I haven't got enough material. You know, we're running out of stuff here. Can we not do Song Wars for a few weeks? So we said, all right, listen, let's just do something simple. So Joe said, I know, why don't we just do ringtones? That'll be nice and simple, super short. We don't have to, like, really kill ourselves to do the ringtones. Fine. Everyone agrees that to give Joe a little break, because his brain's running out, we'll do something
simple. This isn't actually
simple.
What happened.
This is exactly what happened. What happened then? Huh? You wanted to do something super short and easy for Song Wars because you said it was too much to get it together for
That's
the new
fair
year.
Enough. Right. I wasn't purely me. I was going to help everybody. It was an altruistic thing to help us through the
Here
Christmas period.
Here we go. So anyway, everyone agrees. And then he comes in with a big armful of his crazy stuff. That's not fair, though. That's trampling all
so
over the rules.
So you're suggesting that what I was doing was a kind of, you know, deflective tactic? Is that what you're genuinely suggesting that I was like thinking, I know.
No, I'm not. But you can't just suddenly change the rules when it suits you and come in and say, oh, well, you know what? I know that I wanted to do something easy that didn't take too much effort, but I've decided to go completely the other way and trample all over the rules by having three instead of one for Song Wars, which is no...
I've done quite well because I've managed to play all three.
Yeah, well, you've done very well.
You know?
But now we're narrowing it down to just the one.
Yeah.
So we've reminded listeners of yours, I think.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think.
Do you think? No, but that was through the phone. They might want to hear it in proper stereo.
You made your bed, Mr. Cornish.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, fair enough. So we'll just hear Adam's one.
Here we go.
You've got a call coming in, it's exciting. Perhaps it's from an actor or a model, or maybe Russell Brand.
There's an orgy going on.
But more likely, it's from someone at work saying, why ain't you done all your work?
Just let it ring, it will go to voicemail in a second. They can leave a chippy message, which you're welcome to ignore. Anyway, you got this ringtone, it's so different and so special. And there's people all around who haven't heard it before.
You got a call coming.
coming in. You got a call coming in. On your phone in the old days this was enough. But not now, you've got to have a flipping song to express yourself before you answer your phone.
So there you go, that's mine, Adam Buxton's ringtone. Let's play Joe's, come on, I don't want him to be upset about the whole Song Wars thing. Here's Joe's.
Phone call, iPhone call, you have got a telephone call. Ring, ring, telephone call, someone wants to telephone you. Ring, ring, telephone call, talking on the telephone, someone is trying to call you to talk to you on the telephone.
Yeah, so there you go. Which one of those would you like to hear coming out of your mobile phone, listeners?
Second one.
As you can hear, someone emailed us last year to say, oh, come on, stop being so nice to each other about Song Wars. We know there's tension bubbling underneath. All right, now the tension has properly surfaced this week.
Hey, there's a text here from Jane from BBC Interactive saying we can put the ringtones on the WAP site for download on Monday. Jane, wow. There's going to have to be financial discussions first. We're going to have to talk about how we'll split the revenue stream.
So this is it, man. This is a big one, you know, because fortunes could be made off this. So it's a very important Song Wars for so many reasons.
I'm going to put all three of mine up.
Here we go. Look, now this is your choice. I'm moving on. I'm segueing to another thing. Look, I found out some facts about Tenosaur for you, Joe.
Hey, so we should just tell people, vote for either Adam or Joe on 64046 or email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. The winner of Song Wars this week, possibly the most vitriolic and, divisive Song Wars of all time,
yeah,
will be announced on next week's show.
A lot is riding on this vote.
But now, coming up, here's a record I chose from the album I was talking about earlier.
I googled it on Wikipedia for you there.
This is from the compilation album put together by the bass player of the Super Furry Animals. It's called The Furry Selection, and this is by Tenosaur. It's Ring the Alarm. You'll recognize it when you hear it. Some facts about it coming up after the track.
Oh, that just suddenly ended there very quickly. We were looking at Tenosaur facts on Wikipedia. He died when he was 22. That's tragic. Killed by a speeding car in Houston, Texas. There you go. A great loss not only for his family, but for reggae music as well. Quite right. Tenosaur with Ring the Alarm.
It's a classic track, and yeah, must recommend again that compilation, The Furry Selection. If you like a little bit of dub, rub-a-dub-dub.
I love to be rubbed.
Then that's the album for you. It's really, really very good. I'll be playing some more from it in forthcoming shows, so stay tuned.
Have you had the sick bug, Joe Cornish?
No.
No sick bug yet?
No sick bug, yeah.
Have you just been keeping yourself away from humans?
No, I eat an enormous amount of fruit.
That's not going to protect you from the bug.
You know, I didn't get ill at all in 2007.
Did you not?
No.
Not once?
Not once.
No time off?
No, I don't get ill a lot, generally.
Didn't get the snuffles?
No, not in any major way.
Right.
No.
Good job, man.
Yeah.
Very good. Are you taking any vitamins there or any supplements?
No.
Really?
Just a lot of acid on weekends.
Yeah. What's your secret then? Lots of fresh fruit?
I think just lots of fruit. Yeah. I don't know. I eat a lot of fruit.
Watch out for the acid on your teeth, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. It can really play havoc.
Really?
You know, because fruit.
I'm not listening to the downsides of fruit.
No.
People say it's going to make me more farty. People say it's going to make me go, you know, yellow because of all the oranges.
Right.
But I don't listen to them. I'm just going to eat that fruit.
It's good for you. Fruit. It's basically good for
little
you.
Little sweet apples.
What's your favorite kind of apple?
Little sweet. Royal Gala.
Ever had a Fuji?
Don't like the Fujis.
You don't like the Fujis?
Nah.
Why not?
I just don't like
one time. That's where you were going, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fuji apples
like
are delicious.
Royal Gala.
Listen, you better watch out though, because you'll get the bug. Everyone gets the bug. The norovirus.
Wash my hands when I come indoors. Always wash your hands with soap and water when you come in the house.
It's not going to help you.
Oh, it does.
Everyone gets the norovirus.
What's the norovirus?
This is it, man. It's called the winter
vomiting
bug. Yeah, it's the
never
vomiting.
Had it.
It's
I've
new.
Never vomited from a cold ever.
You know,
no, I haven't vomited since about 1987.
Right.
Seriously, I don't vomit.
Man, I hadn't vomited for a long time before I got this one. It was not a welcome return to vomit land. It was awful. And the worst thing about the virus, if you're unlucky enough to get it, listeners, is that you can't even enjoy yourself when you're lying there in bed, you know? Because one of the nice things about being ill is you can just lie there, do a bit of work, maybe read some books that you were meaning to read for ages, watch a few movies, you know? You can't even do that because you're constantly nauseated, right? You're right on the verge of the vomitorium and it's uncomfortable. You can't really sleep properly. It's just the worst. Luckily, it only lasts about a day. and then you're sorted. But you're not supposed to go out afterwards. Don't go into contact with other human beings for a couple of days because you're still contagious and this thing could get way out of hand. It, you know, we might have to get Dustin Hoffman involved and the whole place. It might turn into I Am Legend, which would be incredibly boring. So, for goodness sake, take care of yourself. Is what I'm saying. That was a little public health.
Yeah, moment. I kind of tuned out. I just came back in for goodness sake, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
I'm right behind that.
Yeah, just spun round green.
Absolutely. Listen, here's a band called The Duke Spirit. This is a track called The Step and the Walk. All we know about them is the following six words written on this sheet. Mm-hmm. They toured the UK in November.
Ooh.
That's The Step and the Walk by The Duke Spirit. They toured the UK in November. They've got a beautiful and funny lead singer called Leela Moss. And that's from their forthcoming second album called Neptune, which is in the shops on February the 4th.
Joe,
who said we don't know nothing about them?
Exactly, exactly. Now, the direct decorations are still up.
Hey, listeners, you've got to take your decorations down today.
Today, is it?
Yeah, today's the deadline. Is it not, or is it tomorrow? You know what happens if you don't take your decorations down?
Oh.
Evil Santa comes. Good Santa comes on Christmas Day if you have the decorations up and leave them in spies. If you don't take them down, evil Santa comes.
Satan.
No, he's just Santa.
Right.
But he's got a blue suit and he nicks things.
Right.
Every day of the year.
Yeah.
For a whole year until Christmas.
Yeah. Upper Santa.
Yeah. And if you're unlucky, he'll have an affair with your girlfriend or wife.
Oh, that happens anyway. Santa's,
really?
Yeah, the real Santa's got carte blanche to snog who he wants.
It's true. Women love Santa.
They really do.
They go crazy for Santa. Nothing gets a woman hotter than Santa.
Than a big fat man in a chimney.
Ooh, ooh, ooh,
I'm going to miss Santa.
Oh, Santa.
I am. I see so little of him.
I've seen so little of him. My brother used to set traps for him.
He pops around at Christmas. People still believe in the Santa. You know, my little nephew, who was about 8 or 9, that quite old, you would think, to still be...
That is old.
...in Santa conflict land. Mm. He got genuinely upset about it because he basically knows, and his older brothers have told him, like, obviously there's no such thing.
Oh, what?
Ooh, I'm not supposed to say that, am I? Because, you know, some children are listening. But he is... Man, he's really conflicted. He absolutely doesn't know. Listen, children, there's no conclusive proof either way, all right? So you believe what you want to believe. Man, he was struggling with it. He was in tears on Christmas Eve just saying, I don't know what to believe. I felt really bad for him.
He was in tears.
Yeah, he was. He was absolutely distraught because he was getting so many conflicting messages, you know, from the kids telling him the cynical line.
Surely, why does it matter to him as long as you get the prezzies?
No, because it's about more than that, Joe.
Is it, though?
Try cast your mind back to the magical times.
All I knew was that a weird man was breaking into my house and...
Did you get no excitement out of the fact, though, that there was, like, an actual physical presence involved in the whole situation?
Like a bloke?
Yeah, like but a strange guy, you know.
You know what? I can't remember. I remember my brother laying traps for Santa.
Right.
Yeah,
well, he was excited about it.
Some difficulty for my parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you never thought... I think I saw him. You never, like, your parents didn't, like, used to creep into your room with the stockings and stuff, and then you would think, I think I saw him, Mummy, I think I saw him last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Definitely. I can remember a couple of Christmases where I was pretty confused because most of my brain was telling me no.
Some kids have parents who actually dress up in a costume.
That's right, of course, yeah. I don't think my parents ever did that. Not they would have done, of course, children, because they had nothing to do with it. It was the big fat man.
But take those decos down today or tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And burn them. You have to burn them.
Really?
No.
No, you don't burn the tinsel.
I made that up.
That's
you don't
bad
burn
for the planet.
Them. But if you want to be certain that evil Santa won't come, you would burn them.
Did you have a tree this year?
Yes.
Have you disposed of it already?
New.
New?
How do you? This afternoon.
What do you do? Do you just put it outside?
Eat it. Always eat it.
You eat it?
Yeah.
You've got
to eat it.
How do you prepare it?
Just use it as a garnish.
That's nice.
One very big garnish.
Like a big sprig of parsley.
Yeah, a huge sprig.
Yeah.
And one mince pie. We have the last mince pie. Stick the tree in the top of it. Pour some honey on it. Eat it.
Yeah.
Yum, yum.
That's nice, and that's good for the environment as well.
It is.
Should we have another trail?
You end up with a very prickly poo, though.
No, we're not having a trail. Who would want a trail? Hey, this is a bit of rhythm and blues from the good old days. This is Howlin' Wolf.
The primitive drum sequencing of Run DMC, an early primeval hip-hop band from America.
Can you imagine how giant that drum machine must have been? It must have been the size of three
houses. It's true. In the early days of computing,
yeah,
drum machines, they used to take up the size of a football pitch to make the sound of a cymbal.
In the early days of hip-hop, that's right. It used to take a sort of aircraft carrier just to get the samples in there.
Now you can get the whole Wu-Tang Clan on the head of a pin.
Yeah.
Amazing, isn't it, how times have moved on?
That's true. I was thinking about, there's lots of Wu-Tang Clan, or is it just one on Knocked Up?
Yeah.
That's a good one, isn't it? I hadn't heard that one before.
The one at the very beginning. Isn't that Shimmy Shimmy by Old Dirty Bastard?
Yeah.
Bastard.
That was good. There was some good music on that film, as opposed to A Good Year, is it? The Ridley Scott one.
Oh, did you see that?
Well, because you said it was worth seeing.
Yeah.
So I sat down last night and tried to watch it. This is the one with Russell Crowe as a kind of city boy who goes off to live the good life in Provence.
Deliciously poor.
I didn't make it through.
No, you got to see it at a cinema where you're trapped.
Right.
It's big screen, you know,
and
beautiful.
Part of the problem with the whole thing is that it's got some of the worst film music, like songs, use of songs that I've ever heard in my life. Mm. And I didn't make it through to the end, so I didn't see if they were songs that were specially written for the film, or if it was stuff that Riddles had gone out and it had turned up on his iPod and he thought, oh, this is going to be good for the film. I'll pop this one in the film. Oh, my lordy. I might try and find some of it and bring it in.
Dude, I can't remember the music.
It was shocking.
Is it all like Renault Clio advert type stuff?
No, it's nothing that good. It's like sort of overwrought sub Rufus Wainwright ballads, but up tempo. It's hard to describe. It was really horrible music.
Great film. See it.
I'm going to try and bring
great
some
film.
In. What a film!
So
oh,
here's a
Lord.
Here's a quick email from Green Coos. Hmm? What sort of a name is that?
It's a nice
good
name.
Coosie and Dee Dee. They say, and this is aimed at you, Adam.
Yeah.
How's the jaw harp playing? It's a great fun instrument when you get the hang of it.
Mm.
Listeners who listen regularly might remember on our exciting Christmas show where we bought presents for each other, I bought Adam a jaw harp. He sliced his lip open with it.
Immediately
that
stabbed
kind
myself.
Kind of dampened the excitement on the day. But how's it been going?
It's been good, man. I haven't got it with me.
No. Have you been playing it? Have you played it at all? Be honest.
No.
Have your fingers touched it since
yes.
that day?
I played it for my son when I got home.
Did you?
He wanted to know what it was and,
really?
And he was fascinated
How
by
did
it.
That go?
It was good, man. He thought it was amazing.
Don't let him try. It's dangerous.
I said, no, I kept it away from him.
Because
there's two types of those things you can get. You can get one that looks, it's sort of mushroom shaped.
An expensive one and a cheap one.
And then, well, no, I thought yours was charming. And the one that Joe picked up, which was like a sort of decorated little cardboard tube with a very sharp metal prong in it, stuffed inside it. And basically, you kind of vibrated the prong against your lip. But I was a little tooty. Maybe we had some champagne in the studio when we did that pre-record. And I just whipped it out, not knowing what it was in my excitement, and jammed the thing right through my lip. Pretty much. It was real. I was bleeding all over the area. But no, it was a lovely present and I'll cherish it forever.
Bring it in next week and play some.
Maybe I will.
Yeah.
Things to remember for next week. Music from A Good Year.
Yeah, and Jaw Harp.
Jaw Harp.
There you go, Coosie and Dee Dee. That's dealt with that one there for you.
I've got a... have you got anything else there, Joe, that you need to read out?
No, shoot.
I've got a track for you listeners. I picked these at random during the week. You know, Jude, our producer, she emails us and says, what do you want to play on the weekend, chaps? And it's always the wrong moment for some reason. Do you know what I mean? Like, you sort of hear things as you're going along or listening on your iPod and you think, hey, that's going to be good for the show. But then when the email comes through, you're a bit panicked and you think, oh, I've got to respond. I just picked some random tracks from a random playlist and this was on one of them. But it's one of my favorite Police tracks, as in the band The Police, led by Stung. But it's not a Stung track. It's written by, I think I'm right in saying, Stuart Copeland, the drummer. And I've always got a soft spot for
the drummer
for Copeland's tracks, you know, because usually when the drummer gets writing,
Copeland is a very accomplished film soundtrack composer.
That's
amongst
right.
Other things.
Yeah, but his pop songs are sort of cheesy and ludicrous. And I'm always amazed that Stung allowed him to actually put them on the albums. You know what I mean? In a way, there's a couple that are a total disgrace of his.
Which album is this off of?
This is off Synchronicity, I believe.
Oh, I love that album.
Yeah, I really do.
It's got one of the best songs ever written about Nessie.
Right, Synchronicity 2.
I love pop songs that mention Nessie or Bigfoot, anything like that. Especially, it's rare to find a song, a serious song.
Mm.
You know, you get a lot of Tenacious D type stuff about mythical creatures, but a serious rock song.
In a dark Scottish lock.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And back then, you know, it was as if Nessie could have existed in the 70s.
There's a film coming out all about it, of course.
What's it called?
The Water Horse.
Yeah.
They should put that track on it. Anyway, that's Synchronicity 2. I've picked for you, listeners, a very odd song indeed. It's called Miss Gradenko. Enjoy.
I like that.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I like the Police a lot.
I don't suppose you're going to see them live. They're still touring, right? I think.
No.
Have they finished touring?
I don't know. Mm. No idea.
You're not forking out 75 quid or whatever it is for the coppers.
No, no.
Apparently they're playing a storm, though. Wherever they go, they're great.
I like to personally see the band. These bands that do these reunion tours, they play in such huge arenas that you can't really... One can't afford.
Yes.
Unless you, like, mortgage your house to sit close enough to see them.
Right.
It's just like standing in a big field watching a giant telly, isn't it?
So you didn't go to Zeppel's?
I didn't see the Zeppel's, no.
And sorry to be ignorant, I know everyone knows this, but are they still touring, or is that just a one-off?
No, that was a one-off. It was a benefit gig, but there's rumours that they might carry on touring. Yeah.
They are later in the year.
Oh, are they? Is that official?
I think so.
Wow.
Later in the year.
I thought it was kind of like a test gig.
Well, it went very well, apparently.
Very well.
I think everyone I know who saw it
Thumbs
said
up.
It was amazing. Check this out, though. I heard about a friend of mine who got his mate, like, as a present. He got him tickets to the Zeppels, right? To the Zeppels gig for, I don't know, how much those tickets were.
Over £1,000.
Over £1,000. But they were a lot. You know, it was like about £100 or something. Anyway, he got them fairly on. He was one of the first people to book the tickets. But then by the time the gig came along and the prices of the tickets on eBay were just spiraling out of control astronomically, people were paying thousands of pounds for them. So his mate said, listen, you know, I just can't give you these tickets. Because he hadn't actually handed the tickets over. He said, I could get like a grand for these, so I'm not gonna give them to you. I'm gonna sell them myself instead. I'll get you something else.
This is like the story you told the other week of the friend who bought the friend the little Banksy.
That's right. Yeah, yeah,
your friends are always involved.
No, that was a happy story, though.
A happy story. Yeah, but there's a lot of selling and trading and financial assessment.
This is not a close friend. It's
only two stories.
It's someone I heard.
Right.
But that's pretty rough, isn't it?
Makes a certain amount of fiscal sense.
You would be hard put to forgive a friend who did
Maybe
that
they're a hard up student trying to pay their student loan off.
I don't think so. I think I heard it was the guy just couldn't bear the idea that he'd bought his mate something that was actually worth thousands of pounds.
Hey, listeners, this is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's the last hour of our show, coming up to the last 45 minutes. Before that record, the Police record, we were talking about their track Synchronicity 2, which features a reference to the Loch Ness Monster, and it's given us a brilliant idea for Song Wars next week.
Mm.
Mythical Beast songs.
Oh, that was for Song Wars, was it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Songs about Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti, three separate entities, of course.
Yeah.
Don't get them confused.
No.
You'll only make them angry. the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
Poltergeists. Ghosts. Could we do poltergeists and ghosts? No, you think it has to be cryptozoological.
But there aren't that many, are there?
Oh, unicorns. If Adam does a song about a unicorn, I'll be quite upset.
Why?
Because I just don't like the sound of it. Just the general idea.
Just the way you turn
I've never really liked unicorns.
Unicorns.
I like unicorns. Even that one in Blade Runner, the prongs all flopping.
All comes back to Ridley, doesn't it?
Centaurs?
No, come on, these have got to be... You know, creatures that some people believe might currently exist on the planet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it can't just be, like, fairy stories.
Well, there's not that many, though, are there? Coelacanth, I suppose I could write about.
No, there's lots, man. The Chocopopo Chocobora.
What's that?
It's a kind of Mexican goat-eating thing.
I thought it was
the
like
Mothman.
A lollipop. The Mothman.
The Chapa Chapa.
You know all about this stuff, because you read
the 14
times.
Yeah, it won't take you long. Just a quick look up on Arthur C. Clarke's mysterious website.
All right then. Well, I bags the Loch Ness Monster.
Loch Ness Monster.
The Loch Ness Monster.
You got him.
The Water Horse.
Or her. The Water Horse. That's right.
Yeah.
Loch Ness Monster is a sort of benign monster. Not like the Yeti. That's vicious. Bigfoot. Oh, horrible, ill-tempered
Joe's
creature.
Obsessed by Bigfoot.
I've got a Bigfoot print. I've got a cast of
Have
his
you?
Footprint. Yeah.
Is it signed?
No, he couldn't hold the pen. He's too angry.
More music now. Here's the new single from the White Stripes. This is Conquest.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Yes, it's Text the Nation time here on the Adam and Joe radio show thing on BBC Six Music this Saturday morning. And this morning we've been asking you to text in your mangled famous people's names that you use in your households, whatever kind of modern cohabitational setup you have.
Mm.
Maybe two gay men, and one lesbian. Maybe six lesbians, one gay man, and an old man, and, I don't know, a policeman.
Maybe a disabled policeman.
A disabled policeman, three lesbians, two gay men, and...
What about the straights? Why don't they get a look in here?
It's just not very modern.
Oh.
It's a bit old hat.
It's an old-fashioned straight.
It's been done before.
Yeah, it's been done, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, what, how do we get into that?
You got into that, mate.
You ploughed us into that one. Can you get me out of it, please?
Here we go. Grab hold of this.
Not that! Yeah. So, yeah, we've been asking you to text in ways that you mangle celebrities' names in your houses to make it more interesting when you see their faces all over the shop. And, you know, these aren't particularly witty or original, but there's something strangely satisfying about them. Of course, Hugh Grant...
Yeah, Huge Grunt.
Huge Grunt.
Yeah.
He might as well change his name to Huge Grunt. And I think that's one of the things, you know, another part of this is the theory that to have a name that can be easily mangled actually helps you.
That's true.
Up the slippery showbiz slope.
Huge Grunt.
Stephen Rodley reminding us of Huge Grunt. Here's an email from Helen Williams. Jim Carrey. Jim Carrion. Because his films are ridiculous, like Carrion's.
Right, right, right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For Demi Moore.
Huh? Demi Moore.
No, you can't say that.
Can I not?
No.
Sorry, I was spelling it H-O-A-R-E.
Oh, right.
You know, it's like a family name.
Oh, Juare.
Yes.
Juare.
Juare.
Helen Williams calls Demi Moore demi-talented. Yeah, half-talented.
Oh,
yeah.
That is very sophisticated.
You thought she was just being flattering.
Yeah.
Instead of calling her Demi Moore, I call her demi-talented.
Demi-talented.
She's so talented.
Do you know what I call her? Demi-fantastic.
Janet Street Porter. Janet Street Cleaner. Yeah?
Right.
Eh? Those
exactly.
are all from Helen. It's all right. You're allowed to feel a bit silent about these.
Yeah.
Here's one from Richard Hitchens. My brother and I always pronounce Sean Connery... Oh, no, I can't read that one out. Richard.
You know what? I thought of one the other day, and it was when I was watching This Morning, usually fronted by Phil and Fern.
Yeah.
And who was standing in but Julian Scary.
Really? Scary? Do you think he is scary?
Oh, my Lord. Have you seen him recently?
Yeah.
He was dressing all super straight, and he had, like, a very natty...
Suit on. Yeah,
suit
it's his daytime
on.
Look.
Yeah. But he can't do the sincerity thing, you know what I mean, very well at all. His eyes are slightly lidded and there's a cynical aspect to him that doesn't sit well with the daytime format. Plus, he has a very young haircut, like he has a young boy's haircut. It's sort of a feathery, like almost like a schoolboy page boy cut or something.
Like Richard Hammond.
It's very odd. No, not a page boy cut, but no, it's much shorter than the hamster. But anyway, it occurred
to me...
We've
met him, haven't we? I've met him. We met him a couple of times at Jonathan Ross's house.
Julian Scary.
Yeah. Jonathan Ross had a go-karting party that we went to.
That's right.
During which my girlfriend very nearly got killed by Jonathan's agent in a go-kart.
Yeah.
And Julian was there. He was very nice.
He is a lovely...
Very quiet.
I'm not saying he's not a lovely chap.
His boyfriend at the time was a very old, small, bald man. It surprised me. I thought, you're on telly, you're gay, you'd have a really attractive boyfriend. But no, tiny, tiny little bald old man.
There you go.
No insult to anyone, in case they're still very, very happily cohabiting.
Brilliant. Brilliantly sidestepped there, Joe. Well done.
Thanks. I should cover all angles legally.
You should work for the UN.
My dad is a keen gardener, changing the subject. So some of our mutated names stemmed from gardening, as in Spruce Forsythia.
Nice.
That's quite an elaborate one for gardening.
Have we
had
Bruce some mangularization of Bruce Willis yet?
No, Willie's. It's always Willie's, isn't it?
It's got to be. Bruce Forsyth. That's the one I was thinking of.
From James and Lewis, back in the 80s, I used to refer to Molly Ringwald as Oily Ringmold. That's quite good, isn't it?
That is good.
Yeah, that's a more sophisticated one from James. Chris also has a Molly Ringwald one. Molly Ringworm.
Yes, that's, of course,
that's your more standard one.
Yeah.
I can't help but refer to the third Doctor Who as John Twerpwee. What? Twerpwee, I meant to say. I kind of ruined that one. Sorry, Paul Kelly. More of these?
Give us exactly one more.
Okay. My girlfriend Karen uses Lenny Crabsticks. Come on, they're not supposed to be funny, but you can just imagine someone going, Lenny Crabsticks again.
Yeah,
and expecting
exactly.
some sort of response.
That's right. Lenny Crabsticks is an absolutely ideal way to conclude that part of the program. That was Text the Nation, but not, you know, not for nothing. Is it known as the nation's favourite feature?
It is. And let's hope it keeps hold of that title in 08.
Do you know who's a big fan of the feature?
Who?
Barack Obama.
Is that true?
It's his favourite feature.
He's the first black president. The only thing that worries me, it obviously hasn't done it yet, but it's got to be a shoo-in. They can't possibly vote for that nutty other man. I hate Huckabees. Uh-huh. Can they?
Well, is he the Democratic candidate? No, he's the Republican.
No, yes.
I don't know what's going on. I know there was a caucus. Is that good?
Yeah, there are several caucuses.
In Iowa?
Yeah.
So Barack won that one.
The thing that worries me about Barack winning is all the big disaster movies have black presidents in them.
Yes.
You know, it's always Morgan Freeman. So the second they get a black president, the disaster, that's the trigger for the disaster.
Aliens are going to invade. When Independence Day, it was Bill Pullman was the president, wasn't it?
That's true.
But, yes, Morgan Freeman was the
Deep Impact
president.
Stay after tomorrow, was that about? I don't know.
Yeah, the aliens are going to invade.
Not saying that's in any way, you know, connected in a meaningful way.
I think lots of people thought it was.
Play a record.
No, there's no records now. It's going to be news time shortly. Are you going to step out to the sales after this just quickly
step
before we go?
Step out to the sales?
Yes.
No, I'm not.
You're not? Have you ever been to a sale?
No, I don't think so.
Why would you want to go?
I've been to the HMV or the Zavvi one. You know, there are other megastores available.
It's nice when they have a sale in the middle of the year, but the whole idea of doing the winter sale thing is just a total nightmare. Anyway, that was just a little aside. I was thinking about it. Now, apparently there are other things going on in the world that you need to know about. I find it hard to believe, but here with details is the news. That was Belle and Sebastian with Wrapped Up in Books, but it sounds almost exactly like You're Gonna Find Me Out in the Country by the Farmer's Boys. Ba, 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 ba. You know that track? That's a good track. Both good tracks. Listen, you know, he's done something extra with it, which makes it okay, and Belle and Sebastian have their own unique thing going on. I'm just pointing out that there are similarities there. He better watch out from a legal point of view. That's all I'm saying. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and now it's time
for a jingle.
For a jingle jangle.
Jingles.
Jingles. Jingle jongles.
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. So check it out.
Yes, indeed.
It's not the right jingle I wanted to play for this email.
Oh, you wanted the...
Here's an email from Dick Thompson.
Right.
Hi, Adam and Joe. Can I just say what a refreshing change it is to hear two well-spoken lads on the radio instead of those awful estuary English accents we're normally forced to endure? Now, I'm sure you have... I'm reading this quite posh now.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have high standards in everything else you do. So can I point out a little faux pas in one of your jingles? In the Song Wars one, you can be heard saying, quote, "Which one will you vote for? Which one is the best?" Close quotes. Now, I'm sure I don't need to tell you that when comparing two objects, you should be using the word better. Best can only be used for three or more objects. I've therefore taken the liberty of rewriting the two lines affected by this as follows, colon. Which one will you vote for? Which one is the better? Vote for them now by email, text, or letter. If there is anything else with which I can help you out, just give me a call. Regards, Dick Thompson. This email has been scanned by Net Intelligence.
That's great. Thank you very much, Dick, for that. That's absolutely true. That's correct.
The subject of the email is suggestion for improving your show.
That would improve it. You know what,
Dick? Do you want to sort that out next week?
I will. Give that to me and I will fix
that
for you, Dick. Although, to take you up on something... it's not which one will you vote for, which wouldn't scan. It's which will you vote for, which one is the best. That's
nice.
How it goes currently.
Shame. You've murked him up.
You know, I absolutely murked you. Is that another word?
Yeah, that's another street word.
Say? Oh, man. Anyway, to deal with this week, though, boy, what a tense-making Song Wars it's been.
You know, I'm relaxed about it. I've come to terms with the fact that you perceive my generosity of creativity as cheating. You know, I agree with you. It must seem like an underhand tactic. But I assure you it was done in all innocence. And now I am a bit... I think I might have chosen the wrong one.
This is the thing, you see. He walks out feeling as if he's been the victim of some kind of religious persecution.
Can I switch mine?
Nope.
Because I think the other one's better.
He's going to go home. He's going to go...
I've got it on here if you want to hear it.
He's going to go, I worked so hard. No one understands me. You know, they give me
cheating.
Such a hard time.
What's cheating?
Playing both.
He's doing it again. He's doing it again.
I'm not going to play.
He's doing it again. I thought we'd resolved this. I thought we were going to move on.
I'm not going to play the other one.
I'll drop your mic.
He's going to walk out of
not gonna
the
play
BBC
the other one.
Studio
but if somebody
today.
Happens to call me...
Your fucking mother
Look, she's faded him out. She's trying her best to fade all the mics there.
You know, they'll all be up on the website, listeners.
If you're around for the sales in the West End, you might like to look at Joe Cornish coming out of the building at around about 12:05. He will be looking like Jesus, and he will, in his mind, there'll be a halo. Why am I being persecuted? Why? What have I done wrong? I just want to bring light to the world with my cheating jingles, and instead I'm being beaten with holly branches for the trouble I've gone to. That's what's going on in your mind, isn't it, Jesus?
I'm turning the other cheek.
All right.
Slap me, hit me again.
So let's remind you, listeners, of what we have.
Let's hear Adam's first.
Let's hear mine first. This is my jingle. I want you to vote for jingle, for ringtone, ringtone. This is Adam's ringtone.
You got a call coming in, it's exciting. Perhaps it's from an actor or a model, or maybe Russell Brand.
There's an order going on.
But more likely, it's from someone at work saying, why ain't you done all your work?
Just let it ring, it'll go to voicemail in a second. They can leave a chippy message, which you're welcome to ignore. Anyway, you got this ringtone, it's so different and so special. And there's people all around who haven't heard it before.
You got a call coming in, you got a call coming in. On your phone in the old days this was enough, but not now. You've got to have a flipping song to express yourself before you answer your phone.
There you go. That's Adam's ringtone there. Sorry that I didn't load it onto my phone the way Joe did to demonstrate to you exactly how great it would sound coming out of your phone speakers, but use your imagination. Now, Joe Cornish, would you like to introduce yours?
It's just that one seems very bassy. And I'm not sure that mobile phone speakers could handle that kind of bit. What you need is something a bit more sharp and irritating.
Right, okay.
You know, a bit more like cheese gratery. That's what the kids like.
Shut up!
Kind of thing. Something a bit like this.
Phone call, iPhone call, you have got a telephone call. Ring, ring, telephone call, someone wants to telephone you. Ring, ring, telephone call, talking on the telephone. Someone is trying to call you to talk to you on the telephone.
Yeah.
Joe is grooving around.
There's a lot more to it than meets the ear. Let me put it that way. You pop that on your phone, then, you know, hidden, it's like a flower. Hidden depths will open up.
So get voting. You can text us, text us at, the number is 64046. 64046 is the text.
You text the name Adam or Joe, depending on which one you want to vote for. Yeah.
Yeah. And, that's just for the remainder of this program.
Yeah.
If you're, voting during the week, email Adam and Joe, that's Adam A-N-D Joe, .6music@bbc.co.uk. And of course, if you're listening again throughout the week, that's the case for you as well. If you want to vote, you can. You can vote right up until Saturday morning, pretty much. When do the votes close? We don't want to get into any kind of scandal.
Saturday morning,
okay.
They're collated just before the show on the Saturday morning.
Okay, so
a team of collators.
Mm. All, yeah, what?
Nothing. Here's Cajun Dance Party with that. Amelie.
No, other way. No. Is it? Yeah. Oh, no, you're right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry, man. I'm sorry.
Honestly.
I'm sorry.
Cajun Dance Party with Amelie's. They're an English five-piece. They're all still in the sixth form, according to these notes. That could be slightly outdated now, but they're certainly very young. So if you like them, good for you. You're helping out the kids.
Helping out the little
people. If you didn't like them, then give them a break. They're tiny.
They're little kids. What are you doing?
Honestly. I was watching that program that Nigel Godrich does that you were at one stage going to present until they decided that would be a dreadful idea.
From the basement.
It's really good. From the basement. Yeah. It's what cable channel is it on?
It's on the arts channel, isn't it? Sky
Arts? Yeah,
Arts
if
or...
you've missed it, listeners, you should check it out. It's one of the best, you know, pure music shows on telly. Mm. It's got no presenters at all. It's just bands performing in this sort of underground studio space. It's really well shot, very kind of unpretentious and really good. And there was a band on there the other day. I can't work out what they're called, but their drummer was... He looked about 10.
Right.
Curly blonde hair. Do you know who that is?
No.
Thrashing away amazingly at the drums, and they had a slightly Asian-looking girl singer.
Oh, wait, maybe
I think they were a three-piece.
It could have been Deerhoof.
Was it Deerhoof? No, because I saw Deerhoof at the Royal Festival Hall.
Oh, really?
They were brilliant, supporting the Super Furry Animals. They were fantastic. They had a fantastic drummer as well. He just had one cymbal and a drum, And he was making all kinds of racket out of it. It was brilliant.
Lightning bolts, maybe? No, they're older than that.
Yeah,
oh, I don't know.
I'd be interested to know. But the general point of that blurble was that you should check out From the Basement.
From the Basement. I believe I was one of the people that came up with that title.
Really?
Well, I originally suggested The Basement Tapes.
I hate the title, but the show's brilliant.
Basement Tapes, I suggested, but Nigel said no, because it'll be too much like the Bob Dylan album, and people won't be able to get the association out of their head. And then maybe our friend Garth came up with From the Basement, in fact.
It's very good, very good music
show. That was
before
we got edged out of the whole project.
I know. Better than the Holland, who I find a little bit grating. I don't know, it's just me. Great bands on there. But Holland just looks tired with the gig. He looks bored.
Well, he's got too much of an editorial policy on there.
Do you think?
Yeah, it's too...
Does he vet the bands?
Well, it's. I mean,
do you have to,
though it's not all the bands aren't to his taste, there's still very much a kind of editorial through line on that show, even though they've got such a wide ranging thing. You know what
Sometimes
I mean?
When they jam together, the noise is awful.
It's almost like you want a certain type of music. You don't want such a wide variety of choice sometimes, you know, because you always feel with Jules that you have to switch off for a few minutes sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know what you think, listeners.
But From the Basement is a bit more streamlined. Certainly, I would say it would be more to the taste of your average Six music listener, even though there probably isn't such a thing as the average Six music listener.
No, no. You know, they're all lesbians and gays and policemen.
You're obsessed with lesbians, gays and policemen.
That's just a callback.
Now, this is a track that you chose, Joe.
This is from a film that I saw over the Christmas period. I saw this film in Paris.
Oh,
I went to Paris before Christmas.
I love Paris.
It's in Paris.
That's my favorite city.
C'est mon city.
I live there.
J'habite
I am French.
Oui, je suis française.
Oh, et tu vous,
oui, très bien.
Aussi.
I did this thing, right? Very short story. A friend of mine bought a hat. Mm-hmm. He wore it.
A chapeau.
From un petit magasin près de la Centre Pompidou.
Oh, j'étais...
That means from a little shop near the Pompidou Centre.
Oh, oui.
A touristy shop. He bought a hat. 5 minutes plus tard.
Five minutes later.
Yes.
Yes.
Le chapeau est cassé.
Oh, the hat is broken.
The hat broke.
Yes.
The fastener.
Oh, the...
Il avait cassé.
Le clasp.
My friend could not speak French.
No.
Stupid friend.
Ne parle pas français.
I had to go back and do the negotiation with the hat man.
Il faut retourner et négocier...
Hat man John.
Avec hat man Crothers.
Hat man Crothers.
Yes.
So I had to speak in French. I said, Monsieur, s'il vous plaît, mon ami avait acheté cette chapeau.
My friend has bought this hat.
Mais le chapeau avait cassé.
But the hat has broken.
Est-ce que c'est possible pour échanger le chapeau?
Is it possible to exchange the hat?
The man said, he said, non.
He said, no, mate.
No, he said in the French equivalent of no, mate, you've got to be kidding, you're English, you'll never come back here, I don't give up. He was very rude and abrasive.
Yeah.
Now, my French is limited,
right,
as you can tell, be at O level. I've got nothing between please exchange the hat and j'appelle la police. So I went straight for j'appelle la police. He looked at me, startled, laughed at me. I was all over the place with my French arguing.
Right.
And in the end, he called me a Sarkozy.
Sarkozy?
He accused me of being on the side of France's, you know, riot police... enforcing,
right, basically saying
president.
You're a fascist.
Yeah,
right.
But then his mate stitched it back and mended it, so it was all okay.
Nice, yes. Happy ending to that story. About
anyway, the film that I saw was called Paranoid Park. Gus Van Sant's new one about a teen skater that kills a man and feels very guilty.
Oh dear.
And wanders around. I loved it.
Yeah, good one.
Extraordinary sound design.
Ooh,
people listening to Six music might be interested in sound design.
The year's most beautiful
very
film.
Good sound design.
It says on the
does it? Yeah, it might be. Yeah. Might be true.
Mm.
But this is a track he uses in it. This is Elliot Smith with Angeles. That was Elliot Smith with Angeles. That's it for this week. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody.
It's a very long fade into that track there. I like a nice long fade.
It's good to play the whole fade in as well. Not
exactly.
Like chop it up like other less, you know, less good shows might do.
Less tall DJs might do.
Yeah.
No, it's nice, you know, you don't want to talk right the way up to where the singing starts, because you lose all mellowness.
Yeah, there we go.
It's mellowed me right out now.
Thanks for everybody who's texted and emailed as well this week, and keep those votes for Song Wars coming in. Don't forget to vote Joe, just text Joe to 64046.
Or you can text Adam to 6406, or you can, of course...
Nail now.
You can, of course,
in fact, email. That's absolutely correct.
It's the
don't
best
bother
way to
texting.
Do it. Register
email
your vote
Joe to adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk.
And of course, don't forget you can listen again to this show on the BBC's website. It's very easy and enjoyable thing to do. And we're going to sort the podcast situation out, listeners. I know it's taken us a long time to get around to it, but we're still settling in here.
We're banking material.
Yeah, we're banking material. It's all going to be exciting. I think there's even going to be like two types of podcasts. There'll be like a regular one that's a digest of each week's show, you know, like a little condensed version. And then me and Joe are really going to do our best to do one that's especially constructed with kind of
a family one and a blue one.
A little bit of a blue one, yeah, kind of Derek and Clive one. Not that extreme. But anyway, we'll let you know what's happening as and when. Liz Kershaw is coming up very shortly, ladies and gentlemen. But for now, we're going to leave you with Kate Nash. Happy New Year. Lots of love. Have a great week. I love you. Bye.